You know, the last Sunday of the year is an interesting kind of year. We look back, and many of us are recovering from traveling we may have done or all of the busyness that Christmas was a part of. We look toward New Year's and whatever we're going to be doing on that occasion. And then around the horizon, just over that, is all of those duties that are there and all of those things that are going to take place. So this morning, I just want to step back from what we're doing and look forward with a sense of what God would say to us. The very first Sunday that we met in this building back in 2016, we looked at the passage we're going to look at this morning together. And I want to return to John chapter 21 and just listen to some questions the Lord would ask us out of this passage as we move into a new year. So if you have your Bibles and you would turn with me to John 21, let's read together. Now, the first part of the chapter is a story that I won't take the time to read of Jesus and his disciples. We'll talk about it in just a moment. We're going to pick it up at verse 15. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend, shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you don't want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said to him, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" John is describing himself, the writer of the gospel. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So the saying spread among the brothers that this disciple was not to die, but Jesus didn't say to him that he was not to die. "But if it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" Disciples were back in Galilee. It's, I don't know how many weeks after the crucifixion and the death of the Lord Jesus. They've gone back up to Galilee for a period of time. Seven of them are together, as the first 14 verses tell us. And Peter says to them, "I'm going to go fishing." He was a professional fisher. So were James and John. They're part of the seven. And they said, "Yeah, let's do it." Jesus wasn't with them at the time. They were filling in their times. Fishing was what he loved to do, was what he knew what to do, and involved in going out for a night of fishing. Went out late, caught nothing. And then if we were to tell the story, early in the morning, Jesus shows up. They don't know it's Jesus. It's someone on the shore. Can hardly see. It's dawn. Put your net on the other side of the boat. And John, who was alert to this, pokes Peter and says, it's Jesus. And Peter grabs his rope and jumps into the water to go to Jesus. The others are left to drag in the fish. They've got 153 fish, it'll turn out. Biggest catch of their lives. And they come to the shore and there's a charcoal fire. And there's fish on it already there. And the Lord says, come and eat. Interesting story. But it's interesting about that charcoal fire. Charcoal fire is only mentioned one other time in the Bible, in the book of John. It's back in chapter 18. Do you remember? Peter was warming his hands around a charcoal fire. I'm not one of his disciples. I don't know the man. Three times he denied Jesus. And now they're around another charcoal fire. Now the Lord had restored Peter. He'd gone and met with him after the resurrection in a private meeting. We have no knowledge of what happened in that particular day. We can only guess. But Jesus had publicly, pardon me, Peter had publicly denied Jesus. And now Jesus is going to ask him three questions. Actually, the same question three times. And it's a kind of act of public restoration of Peter in the presence of the disciples. Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? I'm not sure about that first one. And there's little word things that we could look at. I'm not going to take the time going into those details. They can distract us from the larger point here. What does Jesus mean when he says, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these men do? Do you love me more than these, referring to the fish? Do you love me more than you love them? It's not clear what he means. Do you love me? That's clear the second time. Peter, do you love me? And Peter responds each time. And I sense as the third question came, it says, sorry that he'd asked him. It was a reminder of his own failure and why he'd need to ask, do you love me? But Jesus is searching his heart, and Peter responds simply, Lord, you know that I love you. It's actually interesting, the first time he doesn't use the word that Jesus used for love. He uses another one, almost as if he was afraid to use that word. It was almost claiming too much. He knew about himself. But he wants to affirm to the Lord that he loves him. Later, John will write, we love him because he first loved us. And one of the questions that comes as we move into the year and as we think about the Lord Jesus is, do we love him? What's my heart relationship to the Lord Jesus? I know him, but do I love him? I found myself singing to myself this morning, my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the treasures of sin I resign. Gracious, my Redeemer, my Savior art thou, if ever I love thee. or Jesus is now. Love thee in life, I will love thee in death. I will love thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And sing when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, 'tis now. Mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee, give thee a light, and sing with the glittering crown on my brow, if ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, 'tis now. But it's a lot easier to sing that song than it is to ask the question in our heart. Do you love me? But it's interesting to notice, yes, I love you. Feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. The way in which the Lord wanted Peter to express his love was by caring for the Lord's people. In other words, if he loved the Lord, he would care for what the Lord cared for, his people. Now, Peter had a particular responsibility. He was going to become a leader of God's work and God's people. And yet there's a principle that we begin to think about. If we truly love the Lord, we love and care about what he thinks about, and what he thinks about are other people. So the only way in which I can say I love the Lord is if I care for my fellow believers. Love one another as I have loved you. And that's where the challenge comes to me. Do you love me? And I can sing my Jesus, I love me, but how do I treat my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you love me? And then the Lord shifts rather dramatically. I think by this time, we notice it a little bit later, he and Peter are walking, and they've moved away from the other disciples. And he says, Peter, you know, when you were young, when you were little, other people dressed you, and you went wherever you wanted. You used to dress yourself, I'm sorry. And when you're old, somebody's going to stretch out your hands, dress you and carry where you don't want to go. And then John explains it. He was talking about the death he was going to die. The Lord could have said a lot of things. He could have said, you know, Peter, in 4 weeks, 5 weeks, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to have this enormous experience, and you're going to preach one of the greatest sermons that ever been preached, and thousands are going to come to know Christ, and you're going to begin to do miracles, and you're going to stand in front of a woman named Dorcas who's lying as a corpse, and you're going to speak, and she's going to come to life, and you're going to be used by me to take the gospel around the world. Peter had one of the greatest future things that you could imagine. But the Lord talks about Peter. Your hands are going to be stretched out. Peter couldn't miss it. I mean, he'd watched the Lord's hands being stretched out and carried where he didn't want to go. And in 67 AD, Nero had him nailed to a cross just outside Rome. There's one tradition that says Peter refused to be crucified the way the Lord was, so he has to be crucified upside down. We have no idea of that. But the Lord says simply, follow me. Do you trust me? Will you follow me? Now, the Lord doesn't give us a prediction of our future, but that question comes, will you follow me? Because I'm going to lead you through this next year. And we're not given the privilege of knowing, and I'm not sure it was a special privilege to know for Peter that one day I'm going to be crucified. But he was told what it was. But we enter into this new year, not sure where the Lord's path is going to direct us, what exactly is going to be in this particular year. And the question or the challenge comes, it's not really a question as the Lord asked it, follow me. And Peter's like you and me. Do I love you? I think I do. I'm sure I do. I know I do, but will you follow me? Well, what about him? What about that man? And inevitably, that's one of the great questions of comparison. What are you going to ask of him? What's John going to have? You told me my future. What about his? It's a temptation in all of our lives. We look at somebody else and we say, why does that happen to him and not me? Why do I have this illness and they don't? Why do they have that opportunity and they don't? Why? Personal. Why do their books sell and I don't? All of those things, we can have all of those things. And the Lord says to him simply, what's that to you? My business is to lead my people in paths of righteousness that are their paths. Your job is to follow me. Do you love me? Will you follow me? Do you trust me? And that's where we come at the beginning of a new year. Do you love me? Whatever the winding path is, will you follow me? Because you may end up where you don't expect to. It's certainly been true for Elizabeth and I as we look back on our life and we think over and over, how did we ever end up here? Not that we're complaining, but we never would have charted the path of our life. And then when things are challenging, why him and not me? Why me and not him? Do you trust me? That I know what's best for you. And each of us find ourselves, if we're spiritually alert, to hearing the Lord ask those questions of us as we go into a new year. To live in a way that it won't be a used year. It will be a new year, walking in the path that brings grace to us and glory to our Lord Jesus. We're going to come to the table. And as we come to the table, it's always a reminder of the center of who we are as a people. He loved us and gave himself for us. Our response is simply a response to the wonder of what he's done. We're going to sing, "Thank you for the cross, Lord." Such a strange thing to thank the Lord for. But it's the basis of our eternal relationship with God in forgiveness and in grace. If you've trusted Christ, then you're part of his family. And the table is a family meal. The bread is the symbol of the body the Lord Jesus took, as we've remembered at Christmas, died as a human in our place, taking our sin. And the cup is a reminder of the ugly reality that our sin caused God the Son to lay down his life in our place. But that's the joy, the glory of the gospel. God loved us like this. He gave his Son. If you've trusted him, he invites you to take these symbols in remembrance, in love, in gratitude, and in submission to who he is. We're going to sing that song of thankfulness and take the symbols after we've sung. Father, we come to you in the name of our Savior. We thank you for all that he is and all that he's done for us. We hear him asking, "Do you love me? Will you follow me? Will you trust me?" And knowing our own weakness, we say, "Father, give us the strength." But right now we've come to worship and give you thanks for our Savior. Fill our hearts with love as we take these symbols for the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.